Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, weather forecasters may soon lose access to some critical data. DeKalb County releases a guide on protesting, and Columbia County will create its own library system in part because of book challenges.
Like, I've only reviewed about 30, but about 80% of the books that I've read are really pushing indoctrination of the trans or gay.
Today is Wednesday, July 2nd. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. As hurricane season ramps up, weather forecasters will lose access to data used to track a storm's intensity. GPB's Ellen Eldridge reports.
At the end of the month, the Department of Defense will cease sharing data from its meteorological satellite program with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It helps meteorologists track and predict storms, including the rate of rainfall and structure. Thomas Moat is a researcher and geography professor with the University of Georgia. He says other available satellite images can only be used during the day, but
it might be more likely that we would have what's called the sunrise surprise, or a storm that has moved or rapidly increased in intensity overnight when we don't have other kinds of observations available.
Moat says the Defense Department's rationale for cutting off this data has to do with cybersecurity. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
As President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill moves through Congress, legislators are still in the process of finalizing next year's federal budget, which could have major implications for public health. Former directors of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are raising the alarm ahead of budget talks. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Apart from the reconciliation package is Trump's proposed budget, which would replace the Department of Health and Human Services with the Administration for a Healthy America, or AHA, eliminating many departments and slashing budgets. Georgia could lose $382 million in grants, money used to fight HIV, drug use, and fund disease research. And while federal judges have ruled to reverse layoffs at health agencies, epidemiologist and retired medical officer at the CDC in Atlanta, John Brooks, says what's not clear.
Is it until the end of the current fiscal year, or are they going to somehow be moved into AHA?
And will their work continue if money for it is lost? U.S. House committee members will review the budget in several meetings this month. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
Metro Atlanta's DeKalb County has released what officials are calling a toolkit for peaceful protest. The tips, released yesterday, come weeks after authorities arrested dozens of people during a DeKalb County protest against Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Authorities used tear gas after demonstrators took over a busy road and started throwing objects at officers. The toolkit advises protesters to seek approval for use of any public space, get a permit for street marches, and have a point of contact for law enforcement, among other things. It advises against blocking roads or entrances without a permit, bringing weapons, wearing face covers, or engaging with agitators. County officials say the peace protest protocol is aimed at supporting civic engagement with, quote, clarity, confidence, and respect. Commissioners in East Georgia's Columbia County have voted to establish their own library system, leaving a four-county regional library system after months of rancor over book challenges. The county's three libraries will remain in the state's Pines system. Karen Parham of the Freedom to Read Coalition says the split was unnecessary.
I'd say about 60% of the books challenged have been challenged by just one person. And she goes into the library and searches out LGBTQ books, and then she checks them out and she challenges them.
Priscilla Bence, who's been challenging the books, says they don't belong in the children's or young adult sections.
Like, I've only reviewed about 30, but about 80% of the books that I've read are really pushing indoctrination of the trans or gay.
Columbia County officials say the move is, quote, to streamline government. The decision yesterday becomes effective next year. Pediatric healthcare giant Shriners Children's plans to open a medical research facility in Atlanta. The Florida-based nonprofit says its new location near Georgia Tech will become a multidisciplinary innovation hub to advance children's healthcare. Shriners Children's president and CEO Leslie Stewart says having a research facility will help the organization recruit talent.
We want to reestablish our prominence in pediatric healthcare research. We want the community to know that we're bringing our reputation Shriners Children's to Atlanta. We want you to know that there will be a substantial financial impact.
The nonprofit says its $153 million investment will create more than 400 new jobs. It will join several other life science ventures in an 18-acre multi-use development called Science Square on the west end of Georgia Tech's campus in Midtown Atlanta. In other business news, Waffle House has dropped its 50-cent surcharge on eggs as supplies rebound. The Metro Atlanta-based chain added the temporary charge in February when avian flu sent egg prices to record highs. The company announced on its social media platforms yesterday that the surcharge is officially chunked. And an Atlanta-based industrial real estate developer says it plans to build an Amazon facility in West Georgia's Troup County. Seafried Industrial Properties said the 1.6 million square foot facility is anticipated to open in 2027 and will be Amazon's third sortation center in Georgia. Governor Brian Kemp yesterday nominated the state's Commissioner of Revenue to be the chief judge of the newly created Georgia Tax Court. Frank O'Connell has headed the Revenue Department for more than 2 years after serving previously as the agency's deputy commissioner and general counsel. Georgia voters approved a constitutional amendment last November creating the tax court, aimed at improving efficiency in the handling of tax cases at the state level. That's a wrap. Thank you very much for listening to Georgia Today. Hope you come back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. That way we'll appear in your podcast feed automatically tomorrow afternoon. And if you want the latest updates on any of the stories you heard today, check out gpb.org/news. We're always posting new stories there. And if you think we should be covering something that we haven't yet, maybe we just don't know about it. Be our eyes and ears. Send us an email about it. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. We also value your feedback on this podcast. You can send it to that same address, georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
When a massive chemical fire erupted at the biolab facility in Conyers, thick smoke filled the air, forcing evacuations. But for many, it wasn't the first time, and it wouldn't be the last. I'm Pamela Kirkland. In GPB's new podcast, Manufacturing Danger, The Biolab Story, I investigate what caused the fire, the response, and what it means for Conyers residents today. Listen at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.